Attention like-minded business owners. Do you have an amazing solution? A product or service for the soul? Something we can't find out about in mainstream media? Then we have a solution for you. On May 23rd, News for the Soul is airing its first ever Solutions for the Soul networking fundraiser show, and you could be one of our guests. This is an amazing opportunity to join host Nicole Whitney on the air to talk about your solution and share your information with the world. All guests must be pre-screened, and there is a fee to participate. All proceeds directly keep the News for the Soul show archived totally free for the world to hear, and all interviews are aired indefinitely online after the May 23rd show. To find out more, go to newsforthesoul.com and click on the Solution Show banner now. That's newsforthesoul.com. And don't let fear stand in your way. This could be your turn to shine in the News for the Soul spotlight.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
We'll be back with more life-changing talk radio in a moment. Did you know that News for the Soul is home to the largest totally free life-changing audio resource on the World Wide Web? And did you know that journalist and single mom Nicole Whitney is single-handedly making this freely available for you to hear? That's why your support is critical to help keep News for the Soul totally free. You can help in several ways. Firstly, you can tell everyone you know about News for the Soul. So many people out there still do not know about this totally free, life-changing resource. So do us, yourself, and your friends a favor and pass it on today. Secondly, financial support for News for the Soul helps keep the show going. Whether it's through advertising, donations, or purchases of our exclusive audio and video packages, like the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, which will teach you how to bend metal with your mind for real. This support helps keep us on the air. Go to newsforthesoul.com now to find out more. We invite you to help us help the world, and thanks for tuning in. It's listeners like you who have made News for the Soul the number one life-changing talk radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL. Together, we are already making a difference in our world. So thank you for listening, and thanks in advance for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you're listening. I'm Nicole Whitney, and it's News for the Soul time. That's life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, and he's back on the show today. He traipsed off on a spiritual quest in India with his group from Warrior Sage, and he's back to tell the tales today. Welcome back, Satyan.
Well, thank you for having me once again.
So today, we've got to talk about, we just got, you know, to the point where it was incredibly intriguing beyond belief, your mystical, magical journey through India there and into the places where people don't usually get to go at that festival that we were discussing at the end. And you started telepathically communicating
with everyone.
And that's where we left off. So
I think I started talking about the 113-year-old yogi.
Mm-hmm. So what did happen next?
Well, we came at the feet of this profound yogi, and his first thing that struck me was the clarity of his eyes, and his posture was just so relaxed and centered and strong. His body wasn't frail at all. It was just profoundly centered and grounded, and it felt it was full of life force. And to know that a 113-year-old man is got all his faculties, physical as well as mental, together before, not even talking about the spiritual aspects, just his physical and his mental faculties were so keen and on, and he was so present, blew us away, all of us. Mm. My wife Suzanne just went into tears.
Wow.
The level of heart that was coming from him, the depth of his transmission of love was just so thick in the room that it just blew us all away. And then a while into it, I took out a little packet of these special nuts from some Western health food store here in the West, and there were these fancy nuts with raisins and incredible spices in them, very unique, and I thought, let me offer them as an offering, as a gift to him. And I give them to him in his hands, and he looks at it for a few minutes, wondering, what is this? It looks like he's just looking front, tapping, right? He's just looking at it as if it's the most unique thing, tears it open, pours out some of the contents of the nuts, these exquisite nuts, into his hands, and then he just rummages through them, and I'm wondering, what's he doing? We're all wondering what he's doing. And he takes them and he starts breaking them all up in his hands while he's looking at us with love. He just, his thumb is pressing down on these nuts and like breaking it all up. Then he points to one of us. He says, come here. One of our group members from War Sage comes up and he takes a bit of those nuts and puts them back in our hands and says, please eat it. So in a way he was blessing it, you see.
Oh.
He was giving us his love and he was showing that he can take the same amount that you give him, but he has no desire for possession, so he gave it right back. There's no need for anything special, you know. And the very thing we gave him, he gave back to us in many folds and put it in every one of our mouths. There was about 15 of us by that time, I guess. And it was the most sweetest, beautiful act that I've ever saw. And then he sat there, his eyes are on fire. And then one of my participants asks him, and the lady translates for him and asks, what's your advice to us? What's our biggest advice? You know what he said?
What?
He said, first of all, he says, just think of the name of the divine in every moment that you live. In anything you do, just invoke the divine. And I figured, you know, here's a man who's got 113 years of spiritual experience, or at least 100 years of spiritual experience behind him. And he could have given the most profound spiritual discourses, I'm sure, since he's sort of the head or the grand master of these wandering sadhus. And yet, he says, just think of the name of the divine, whatever that is to you, in any moment. In other words, evoke and invoke divinity in every moment. And I thought, what a such a beautiful, sweet, simple teaching. There's so much out there about how to improve this and how to improve that and you know, get your act together type of thoughts that we have here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And his was so simple. I mean, he looked at us and then he gave us the basic essential teaching of all the ages. And then the second thing he said, which is so humorous to me, it's so beautiful, he says, and sleep less.
Sleep less?
Sleep less. Now, I meditated all that because he said it in a way that hit me deeper than just the words. And what I felt was he actually meant it on two levels, minimum at least, that I can experience. And the first level was to sleep less, meaning actual sleep. You don't need to waste your time sleeping so much. Learn how to sleep less so you can spend more time in the life that you have on a conscious realm. But I think he actually meant more than that. He meant sleep less, meaning be more awake. Don't have your head up your rear end or have your head in illusion. Pull it out, face the world as it is, and be more present and aware and awake in everything that you do. So be aware, be awake, sleep less.
So I wonder, what if he only meant it the second way, and then we all run around being sleep deprived now?
Well, after we left him, what started happening was a small group of us who were with him, we started sleeping less. And our dream realms, in our dreams, started getting more vibrant and alive. And not only that, what happened was, is that for some of us, he's visited us in our dreams.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, the vice president of my company is Stephen Garrett. And, you know, Stephen, my colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen is not prone to these type of things, you know? And he's conservative in certain ways of these type of things. But he started experiencing this beautiful yogi coming to teach him in his dreams. And it's still going on, and this is weeks later.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what kinds of things is being relayed?
Subtle instruction on breath, awareness, letting go is a big one. It's almost like there's an awakening that's happening. And on some energy level, it feels like he's there to help support the awakening on a so that it's more gentle and less harsh in our bodies and our minds and in our lives. And that opens up a bigger picture that I feel that the lesson is not just for us, but it's for all of us who are involved in consciousness, involved in opening our hearts, involved in serving the world into greater beauty and greater depth. I feel that, you know, there's a great amount of tension, and we've discussed this in many topics in the so-called, what I would call the negative mainstream media in some ways. There's so much negativity out there, and we can feel that there's forces of evolution that are just budding and pushing and moving and opening. But it's really important for all of us to take care of each other, those of us who are interested in consciousness, and to take care of ourselves, meaning be awake, but at the same time not to allow any part of us that has a martyrdom aspect to take over and crush our own being. We can usher in a new era, but we can do it gently. We don't have to go to great cataclysms. I really feel that to be true, that we can skip going through intensity, not the inner intensity. In other words, the more we look within ourselves, the more we're willing to face the shadow within ourselves, the more we're willing to face the parts of us that have guilt, the parts of us that hold others out, and the part of us that holds our own divinity out, that we can be gentle with it, love ourselves, see the humor of any past misdeeds that we've done, and make a sacred pact to live a more cleaner, smoother way aligned with our greatest heart, our own inner ethic, then we'll be able to have a gentle shift into a more beautiful era.
You know, I mean, I was just going back in time for a moment where the first time I ever talked to you on the air, Satyen, was the day after 9/11 happened, and we were doing conscious perspectives on that. And here we sit now as you're talking about this and in the wake of the most recent media fest over in Virginia Tech with the 33 dead and all that stuff. Do you see that side as being amplified in any way as we do this work with the shadow on the planet?
Well, you know, what happened there was tragic and horrible. You know, many people are being affected by it, of course, because obviously the youth aspect involved in this, the perpetrator as well as the victims, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only are these just, you know, grown adults, but these are youths on the edge of going out into the world and making a life of their own, you know. And I think that's the intensity that has struck us. The useful, what we can do to make use of this very, you know, horrific experiences, really to recognize that, you know, what are the seeds in our society that can create such type of monstrosity? How are we so alienated? How can someone become so profoundly alienated and disconnected from others and love and consciousness, feeling so broken within oneself and so full of animosity and hate, and God knows what other intensely dark energies within one being to do something so horrific? What can we do as a society to create more union, more flow, contacting and connecting with other people, creating an environment where it's safe for people to come out and to be loved as who they are and not be shunned and ridiculed? You know, these are our responsibility, each and every one of us who are listening, to go out, to meet people, to offer our hearts, to be good listeners. And at the same time, when we have inner frustrations and inner turmoils and challenges, as we just do, being part of the human domain, you know, it's just part of the human domain, we're going to have some type of internal suffering or resistances. We have to seek out people who can listen to us and hear our inner suffering and show us and teach us how to transform these darker energies. And we can't get rid of dark energy. All we can do is learn to bring awareness in the middle of it, enlighten the dark energy, if you call it that, you know? So I feel these things are going to happen, but we have to make sure we don't feed it by allowing our minds to focus only on that, to focus on that, to see it and acknowledge it is important. But we must also learn to have a bird's eye view, a larger view, and see also the most amazing beauty and transformation and goodness that's occurring. Then these negative and horrific experiences are in context of something greater. And the greater context is our own self. We must ask, how does this affect me, and how can I turn this experience in my own self around to be of good spiritual benefit and value for the sake of other people? Just to yell and complain and scream and to be sullen is not enough. We must, as spiritual warrior sages, find a way to transform the darkness into some form of depth and light, you know?
So, how specifically?
Well, some examples are this. Well, you know, I give my illumination intensive, and again, this is an offering for anyone who's listening, is just come out to one of our illumination intensives, where for 5 days you're going to be looking in and asking yourself, you know, who am I? Who am I really? And when you start looking within yourself in a very profound way, then you're going to see that there's this incredible amount of light and beauty within yourself, and there's an incredible amount of dark and suppression. And the way, one of the ways to do it is to take a real serious inventory of the totality of who you are. And when you look at your dark side and your light side, then what happens is there's a part in you that is the looker, the one who is witnessing this whole capacity and this whole spectrum within you. That part of you, call it the witness consciousness, can start to grow, can start to deepen, can start to widen. And instead of living from your dark and light, you start to live from your most enlightened self, which is that which sees your dark and light. And then guess what? You have a power of choice now how to live, rather than being run by your old patterns and being run by your negative indoctrinations. You start to live from a place of spiritual choice, and that can only come when we have enough courage and enough love of ourselves to look at our whole spectrum and love it all. So one of the ways is through the illumination intensive that I offer. And what people can do at home is to, again, you know, we talked about earlier, a real self inventory, you know, to write down what do you feel good about and who have you served and how do you feel that what your gifts are an offering to others. You could even ask close friends, how am I an offering to you and those around me? And that'll help you see your bright side. And then with yourself, you can ask yourself and write down in journal, where do I feel guilt with myself? What am I guilty about? What have I done that I think I shouldn't have done in my life? What have I failed to do that I think I should have done? You know, perhaps you should have helped this lady cross the street who dropped her, or, you know, helped this old lady across the street, but you thought, nah, she'll do it on her own. And all of a sudden you saw her drop something and you felt guilty that you know you could have helped out. But you just didn't because you kept in your own world. So there's things that we've done that we think we shouldn't have done, and there's also things that we know we should have done, but we didn't bother, or we failed to do, or didn't face it. When we journal those type of things and look at it from a perspective, we then can heal ourselves and make a pact with ourselves not to relive those patterns, and then to love quicker, love faster, and to jump out of our own self-determination and be there for others. And when we do that, we'll find the peace of the heart. And the peace of the heart will really, the peace of the heart can really heal all our past, but no one can do it for you. No one can do it for you. It must be done from your own honest, vulnerable self-investigation.
And it's an inside job.
You got it. It's a beautiful job. But someone's got to do it, so it might as well be you.
You know, the things that you call beautiful, though, not necessarily the mainstream view. It's work.
Yeah.
Beautiful work.
Yeah.
But it's work.
You got it.
But, do you have the belief that all of us doing this work actually is making a difference on that dark energy on the planet?
You know, I didn't know earlier. I was I was hoping it would on one level. And where I'm at now is I know it is.
Cool.
I used to hope it was, you know.
So how do you know what's
I'm
changed?
I'm starting to see it because I travel so much around the world and because I get to see many different pockets of people from different backgrounds, not just this quote-unquote spiritual people, but the walks of life, all walks of life. I'm starting to see that there people are yearning for a deeper life. The make it big and make it successful is not enough, and that their people are so receptive to even a little bit of spirituality, even the basics, is supporting people so much. And I'm starting to feel that there's this consciousness. You see, the ego has to yell. Spirit, the spirit within you, doesn't have to get yourself in arms, because it's eternal, it's profound, it's forever there. So that which is forever, does it need to make a clamor and make a bang and make a shout? It doesn't. So although the clamor and the bang of the world ego is very loud, the softness, the gentleness, the feminine, the divine in the form of the feminine, in the form of the earth, she's waking up, yet she's doing it in such a subtle way. It's like, you know that frog in the water story? How do you boil a frog?
Yeah.
Well, I feel ego is like the all the yelling and that's going on, but I feel spirit works like you know, water in a pot. If you put a frog in the water in the pot, in a hot pot, the frog will jump out, you see, because it feels how hot it is. But if you heat the water up slowly, ever so slowly, incrementally, the frog won't jump out because it gets more and more used to how things are getting warmer and warmer and warmer. Then finally gets cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how the spirit works. It doesn't have to yell and scream. It doesn't have to be competing with the glamour and the glitz of the world ego. It just has to softly move from one heart to another. And that's what I saw in India in the Kumbh Mela. You know, 30 million people's hearts were beautiful and soft and open, and spreading out in all directions. And we can have our own Kumbh Mela here, you know.
Why not? Yeah, you did tape some of that, did you?
The whole, you know, it's beautifully videotaped, and we're going to be editing it. We're in the process of doing that. And when it comes, I'll be sure to let you know so you and all your listeners and can get a chance to see it on your own website.
Wonderful. Because I think, you know, that's exactly the things, rather than pictures of gunmen posing for their 15 minutes of fame, you know, that's what we need to be focusing on, things like that. So, now, this telepathic communication continues.
Yeah. Most of what these sadhus say and talk about or transmit is nonverbal, and it comes in a particular way. They have a unique mastery of communication that I've never come across with so many people. I've experienced telepathy in small doses and subtle ways, and the first time I did, I mean, it was quite, blew me away. But then, since I'm around people who have been practicing those type of things, it started becoming, you know, more regular as in a basic understanding. But then when I went to the Kumbh Mela and I met with these sadhus, the depth and the flow of so many at the same time communicating this way started opening to me. And I started recognizing that we are so multidimensional. I mean, we've heard about this. Many spiritual teachers have talked about this. We've read about this. But for me to have the tangible experience that I'm having multiple inner sharings, they're not words, but they're sharings with a room full of people, and it's all sane, meaning that it doesn't feel overwhelming in any way whatsoever. It let me know that, my goodness, what is our potentiality? It's so much more than I could ever dream of.
Mm.
And these fellows are certainly doing it.
It's so interesting that we're having this conversation with respect to this series of shows that I've been doing with you, because I had a strange experience when I was phoning you for the last recording for this conversation we're having now. And I may as well bring it up on the air. As you know, we had a mix-up in dates on our schedules. And as I was picking up the phone that day to call you, I heard in my head your voice going, "Today's not the day."
Yeah, well, we're starting to have that connection now.
And that was freaky. Very cool. But it does. It's like you say, it shows you how, well, as you say, multidimensional we are.
You know, the key to the wholeness and the wholesomeness of this is when you have a heart connection with someone. I feel this, you know, these energies, these capacities. In India, we call them siddhis, S-I-D-D-H-I, siddhis. Siddhis are spiritual powers that come when one is focusing on transformation. They just start to happen spontaneously and naturally. Now, in the West, there's been a fascination with these siddhis because it's brand new. It shows us different aspects of our mind and consciousness, and it blows us away. But for thousands of years in the East, the tradition has been in this, and the wisdom teaching has been this. Rather than utilize or make those siddhis yours for your own self-sake, for your own pleasure or for your own gain, if you will, even if it's a good gain, you think it's for good reasons, right? It's still for yourself. And when any of those siddhis are for yourself, they backfire eventually. And so the teaching in India is when you start experiencing siddhis, you know, meaning telepathy, premonition, precognition, these capacities to be able to feel and see things from a distance, intuit where people are at, feel their energy fields or their bodies, all these things, okay? What we call the paranormal experiences, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In India, they say sacrifice it, surrender it to the Great Spirit. They say don't use it for your own sake. They say if you try to, you know, if you try to use it to get any more status in life or to make more money or to improve your self-serving convictions, you know, or ideas, they say to surrender it all, because in a way it's not your power, it's a gift from the eternal. And if you use those gifts for yourself, you're not using it for its full value, its full force. Those gifts aren't your gifts. They're there for everyone. So when they're to be used for the sake of helping people, you know? And that was such an important part of the spiritual teaching of India, that when you start to open, and as we all start to open in this new era where consciousness, you know, and what you're doing on your show to usher in this wider and profound beauty of consciousness that we have to be conscientious and loving and sober enough to make it available to help others in a way that's non-obstructive or infringing upon others, you know? And that's what I noticed about these sadhus. They never infringed on anyone. You know, you wanted to do something, they'll let you do it. You did it. And if your heart was in it, it was cool. If you were doing things out of strange fascination or coming from a shallower place, then they just sort of just loved you, but they didn't really interact with you that much. But when you were deeply open and open to yourself and open to learning and open to be a good servant, then what started happening is then they were able to show how these siddhis, these internal powers, these telepathies, and all the mystical experience we had were for a greater good, and that we shouldn't focus on them and get caught up in the, you know, it's hard not to, the obvious miracle nature of these things.
Yes.
But we have to transcend that and stay sober in our heart. And that's what I saw many of them were doing, and it really touched me, you know.
Why do you think there is such a deeper connection to the true nature of what we are, or spirit, however you want to say it, in India?
Wow. Well, you know, for thousands of years, who knows how many, at least some records say up to 7,000 years they have, of recorded history of people going inward rather than outward to seek happiness. In the West, we start at a point and go outward. That's the sort of the Western model. If you look at from the Renaissance period on, or even before that, the consciousness of the West has been, and again, this is an oversimplification, but it's starting from the center and looking outward, expanding outward, right? All the way to putting people on the moon and sending satellites out into space. So there's a value in that. There's a benefit. And there's a beauty in that. So that's not to cut the Western ideal down. It's just to show that that's the strength of that field that we have here in the West, right? In the East, they've taken this intense looking outward in the world, and they started focusing not so much on what they're looking at, but who is the one who's looking and interacting with this world. And so they turn their attention inward, meditatively, consciously. And rather than discover the secret of the world, which is what the Western sciences have been trying to do for many years, to discover the secrets of the world from a mechanistic, standpoint, if you want to call it that, right? The Indian consciousness, the spiritual Indian consciousness, has been to try to discover the secret of the one who's interacting with the world, which is the self, the very self that you are. And to investigate the self, you need to turn your senses and attention away from the objects that you are fascinated with and place that awareness, that field of awareness, back onto itself. So you are awaring your awareness. You know? And that just started, and I don't know why, but it's been going on for thousands of years, and so it's been grounded over and over and over and over in physical places. And that brings me to, I want to let you know about Bodh Gaya when we get a chance, you know.
Let's do that now.
Bodh Gaya. This is the sacred place, the legend is, where Buddha, Lord Buddha, sat underneath this Bodhi tree. It's a type of tree called the Bodhi tree, in meditation, and over a period of time experienced profound enlightenment. And my group and I were blessed and honored to even be near this place, because the metaphysical and spiritual energy of the place is so strong, and just knock your socks off, you know. And this was in a state called Bihar state of India, and the town was called Bodh Gaya. Bodh means consciousness or awareness or intellect or thought or mind, and Buddha means the illuminated consciousness, the awakened one, you know, awakened consciousness. So Buddha doesn't mean one person. Buddha means that consciousness within you when you awaken. And we were there in this legendary place of Siddhartha, who became Buddha. And the tree is behind a beautiful temple. And people make a circle. They walk around this large temple doing prostrations, prayers, meditation, sitting, opening their heart, chanting. And we're talking from so many different cultures were there, because although Buddhism started in India, it's not big in India. It's actually bigger outside of India in different countries than it is within India. And so Buddhism, this is one of the most sacred sites for Buddhist pilgrimage. And I had this amazing, the moment we got there, and we sat down for a while at this beautiful place, and all of a sudden, right next to me, comes this crazy zany, of course, because he always attracts this to us, this crazy zany, enlightened monk. I didn't know how enlightened he was until he started chatting with me. And he just started laughing and chuckling with me, next to me. And I was giving a lecture to my group about the origins of this place, what Buddha is, the story of Buddha. I was giving some fundamentals. And all of a sudden, this guy starts poking at me and having fun with me. And he's wearing the monk robes. And so I jumped him, and I started wrestling, and we started tickling each other. I was overcome with the desire. I mean, although he was a monk, we started like wrestling and tickling each other in front of everyone. And he loved, we just loved it. We were like two kids in a, you know, like on you know, in a toy store. So we were just joyous. He saw who I was, I saw who he was. And when people have a glimmer of seeing the deepest nature of truth, you can see that in others who have also awoken or to the nature of truth. And we saw that in each other, and we started chuckling and laughing. And then for the whole evening, he would come and be with us for about 15 minutes, say some stuff, some humorous things, some silly things, some profound things. He would whisper into some of my participants' ears and chat, and then he'd turn around and he'd be gone. Then about an hour later, he'd show up somewhere else in a small little temple and say some words, and he'd be gone. Then I'd feel something tapping on my shoulder, turn around, and there he is. He'd be chuckling. So he was coming and going, doing his own thing, yet he would find us mysteriously in this sea. I mean, there's a lot of people. And the most profound thing he showed me was this tiny little room next to the Bodhi tree. It was a secluded room. Like, it was, the doorway was tiny, and I was like, okay, what's this? And I just had this intuition to peek in. And I peeked in, and there he was sitting in the corner in meditation, waiting. He was like waiting for us.
Wow.
So by that time, there's about three of us who were with me, because we're all on our own, you know, discovering this Bodhgaya, right? Everyone was on their own, finding and discovering where they needed to go, right? So here we are. He's sitting there. And then he shows me this little statue of a goddess named Green Tara from the Tibetan Buddhism tradition. Green Tara, T-A-R-A. Now, I don't know much about Tibetan Buddhism and what these symbols represent, but he told me to look at it, and he gave me, and in the inner dimension, meaning on the telepathic level, realm, we looked at each other, and he showed me how to merge with Green Tara.
What do you mean, merge?
Well, I looked at who knows how many, maybe this has got to be here at least 1,000 years, first of all, this room, where people have been doing intense meditation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the little picture and statue of the Green Tara, and on a subtle dimension level, he showed me that if I'm a man, I'm to mate with her, make love with her in a divine realm.
Oh, merge.
Merge. But if it was a woman, one of my students was next to me, she's a woman, that she was to become the Green Tara. So she was to superimpose her body into that posture that this little statue was. Then I started getting the transmission of what the Green Tara is. And it's this beautiful aspect of our own enlightened feminine heart. And she has this capacity of profound, brilliant beauty, but it's also profound, intense energy if you need it. So the Green Tara, and I recognized, and what I started learning was the Tibetan pantheon of all these different so-called demigods, and you've heard of Kuan Yin and these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are not outside of us. like any aspect of divinity, they're archetypal energy centers which are to be activated, released, and open into within our own being to widen and deepen the rainbow of our own enlightenment.
Wow. So, did you have like a message for that came through in the transmission, you know,
yeah,
for humanity?
Yeah, it wasn't a message in the mind. It was more the feminine in me became more integrated with the masculine in me. The masculine is that part which is pure freedom, witness consciousness, the part that is witnessing this very moment, listening to this very moment from a place of no judgment, relaxed as wide open, spacious, empty consciousness. And the feminine is the light, the dance of everything that we see, touch, taste, feel, hear, anything that's changing. The universe itself is the nature of the goddess. And so Green Tara is a specific aspect of a unique dimension of the goddess which started awakening in me. And all I can sense is to let you know it's like a place of deep wisdom, but don't screw around with me. It's a protective energy as well, and it's she's the initiator of deeper mysteries, and I can't really tell you what those deeper mysteries are because they're unfolding as we talk even right now, but all I can let you know is the subtle opening to the magical dimension that is one of the magical dimensions that is right here, right now, in this very moment. It's the Irish would call it the fairy kingdom, if you wanted to call it that. So I felt on a kinship to the Green Tower of the fairy kingdom.
It's also beyond words, too, isn't it? Beyond mind.
It is.
These experiences.
These are dimensions which one can't understand in their mind. And hopefully some people who are listening to this will pick up the transmission of it on a subtle plane. And if you open your body and your heart to not just the words that are being said here today, but the essence of what is coming through that is touching your own heart, then you will also get the full benefit of these transmissions and these teachings, but without having to try to get it in your mind. You'll get it in your body and you'll get it in your spirit. I know that to be true.
You know, that's the thing, too. I mean, having gone through your courses over the years and known you and worked with you, and you work on a deeper level, and going to these places, you know, I never understood before going to Peru how it was different talking about it and actually going and feeling that deep depth residual energy that was beyond the brain and the mind and figuring things out and just experiencing them. So who better to go on these mystical journeys with? Is someone who can work on the level that you work on, Satyan. So you're going off to Peru next.
Going to Peru in a few days.
God.
Back to, you know, it's funny, I was going to say one of my favorite places, but really, when your heart is open, it starts to all become part of your favorite places, you know?
Now, how many times have you been to Peru?
This will be my third time.
And you've got a group going again?
We actually have two. It was so popular. When I came back from the first trip last year, and I shared with you some of my stories, and some of that is on my website, on my blog area, on my website at warriorsage.com. There's so all those, there's actually few of them were coming back with me. They were so profoundly moved. And when I came back, the people who came told so many of their friends about how profound it was that so many of their friends are now coming on this one. And so we had to open up two groups, would you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm there for the whole month now with two separate groups. One group for the first 2 weeks and one group for the second 2 weeks. And it's becoming so popular that we're probably going to open up another one very soon, you know.
Well, on one of them, I will be there.
Oh, we got to have you there for sure. The whole News for the Soul crew would be amazing.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. Wow. And broadcasting all the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I had the most amazing experiences there. And when I was there, in my mind, I thought, I'm coming back here with Satyan's group. Because I know that, you know, to experience that depth there would be just profound beyond words. So I will set that intention. That'll happen. And so when you're back, I'm going to track you down.
You bet. You know, again, you know, Peru is so... I'd love to share with you about Peru, because Peru is like a... it's an, you know, you've seen the Celestine prophecies out now.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it on DVD, and these teachings of... There's so much wisdom in South American consciousness, and ancient teachings, you know, and profound mystic knowledge is there. I mean, they're real masters. Just like India has a real profound level of spirituality and mastery just embedded, just being there, Peru is the same way, in a whole different way.
And I was going to ask you how, what is different between the two?
Whoa. you know, the teachings of the ancient Peruvian, you know, spiritual teachings, mystical teachings, they were more suppressed, you know, due to the really intense, you know, Catholic sort of suppression of their indigenous teachings and cultures.
Yeah.
In fact, so many people were not even allowed, most people have even lost their own native languages, so even now Spanish is the language, but Spanish is not native to South America. People forget that that's something that has been forced onto these people in a way, you know?
Yeah.
And so in Peru, there's almost a more of a, they can't let it out of the bag. It's more mysterious. The subtle old teachings before the Catholic sort of invasion, if you want to call it that,
mm-hmm.
came in. It's not outward, because it's not fully received yet by the people. It's considered voodoo, and for some people they consider it so mysterious and even evil against the church and things like that, that it's just slow, it's not as wide out and open. And so to feel those pockets of spirituality, it's more subdued. It's not right in your face. In India, spirituality, the Hindu tradition, the yogic, Vedantic, you know, and all the teachings are so out there everywhere. So there's more of a clandestine, or I would say more of a private feel to these ancient teachings in Peru than I saw in India. The depths of them are equal, are profound. And the Peruvian mysticism also involves a lot of teacher plants, for some teachers. It also involves much more of the way of the warrior spirit, the warrior sage spirit, meaning the openness to humor, the laughing at existence, that's there as well. And I feel the terrain of our inner spirituality is matched by the terrain of the physical places themselves. So people in the mountains have a whole unique form of spirituality, because they're than people who live in flatlands, or the spirituality in the jungle people, the tribes people in the Amazon of Peru is so different as well. It's much more tribal and earthy. And
that's
so
interesting.
Yeah, the actual physicalities of places creates, and out of those places creates the different types of spirituality. So a real example in India, right? When you go to South India, a lot of the teachings are about they're based on the fact that there's an incredible amount of condensed population, right? And so their teachings are about emptiness and space, because you have to find it physically inside yourself if you can't see it outside of yourself. So it's very practical. But if you go to northern India, which is much more sparse population, right? Then the teachings are much more about getting into your body rather than getting out of your body. And, you know, Tantra and Kashmiri Vedanta teachings, meaning northern Indian, are about entering into the body. They're more about Tantra, which is entering into the world and finding and creating an awakening within your body, mind, spirit, and in the world and in your relationships and your sexuality. Whereas the southern Indian teachings are more about transcending the body into a higher dimension. And I think a lot of it has to do with the physicality of the place. The practicality of the place influences the form of how spirituality unfolds, you know.
Well, it makes sense. It would create their perspective on it.
Totally.
Now, are you going with Jorge Luis Delgado again?
I certainly am.
Oh,
Jorge will be with us for the first part of the journey into the sacred sites. And Jorge's, you know, my good friend, colleague, and master shaman.
Mm-hmm.
And just a beautiful man. And then the second week will be with my other colleague and good brother and master shaman. His name is Diego, with his whole family and his family of shamans. And that's the ayahuasca medicine master in the middle of the jungle.
Wow. I know what you mean about that sort of clandestine feeling in Peru and how it's sort of it's there but not on the surface, and I'm assuming you're going to be doing the similar things, going to the sacred sites with Jorge and actually doing the ceremonies.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. As I noticed when we were doing that, it was sort of like, you know, almost like you have someone on the lookout. That kind of feel to it, you know, like, okay, here we go. Which creates that sort of intrigue.
Well, you know, I'm sort of out there, you know. You know me, I'm sort of out there in certain ways. So I just plop myself, my butt down, and wherever I feel we need to just open, find the space that's conducive to that. And then spontaneous practices emerge. And last time we did this in certain sacred sites in Peru, we had all these shamans and very unique characters come out of the woods, come out of the mountains, and come and start doing the practices with us and join in on the spiritual practices, although they didn't understand what English, and they didn't speak my language, and I didn't speak theirs.
Mm-hmm.
We all met in this profound place, and this happens everywhere we go. It's something to see.
I bet it is, and feel, and I'll be again there with you in spirit this time, but a future trip I intend to come along and document all these things for the News for the Soul audience. So.
And what I'll do is, in our ceremonies, I'm going to hold you, your family, and all your good listeners, your loyal listeners, in our heart, and we will set up prayers and intentions for well-being for all of you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's been another eventful hour, and we're already at the top of it. It goes fast with you.
It does, doesn't it?
It's life. So, and you're about to. So when you come back, let's get in touch again. And I can't wait. Thank you, Satyan, for being part of the show.
Thank you. All my love to you.
Attention, Indigos, healers, cultural creatives, and agents of social change. Are you ready to act upon your inner wisdom and step forward into your life purpose? With 16 years of hands-on real-world results, empowerment specialist Robert Moonsong is available to help as a visionary guide to authentic spiritual growth and awakening. To subscribe for free or find out about upcoming teleclasses, visit robertmoonsong.com now. That's robertmoonsong.com.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satya and Raja of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing five-day course to News for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all News for the Soul listeners. Satyan says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to illuminationintensive.com now and tell them News for the Soul sent you. That's illuminationintensive.com.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com.
How would you like to learn how to bend metal with your mind for real? Well, you can. News for the Soul is home to the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, an instantly downloadable digital gift that contains 2 hours of audio and visual instructions designed to get your mind out of the way and teach you how to truly affect solid matter just with your thoughts. Find out once and for all how you are affecting your reality with every thought you think. Don't let anything block you from creating the life that you want. Download the newsforthesoul.com Spoon Bending Kit today. Just go to newsforthesoul.com right now and click on the bent spoon. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Enlightened, having knowledge and spiritual insight, freedom from illusion. Enlightened dating, an idea whose time has come. It is time for relationships that transcend the old fear-based paradigm of power plays, control dramas, stereotypes, and conditioned response. EnlightenedDating.com offers introductions and support for conscious dating. EnlightenedDating.com is about synchro destiny rather than the volume of memberships or regional location. Enlightened daters operate in the realm of all possibility, far beyond limitation of the conditioned mind. And it is not just a meeting place. Inside, you'll access the best in support and training from conscious relational experts from around the world. Ongoing interviews, webinars, and more support the search and journey in conscious relationship, all free, 24/7, for all members at EnlightenedDating.com. LifeChangingTV.com is a model of conscious journalism, documenting evolution of human consciousness through high-quality video programming. A combination of metaphysical awareness and an open, honest sense of inquiry relay the true story through alternative media that will blow your mind. Founders Nicole Whitney and Peter Williams started the channel after meeting in March 2005, drawing from Whitney's journalism background and Peter's experience as a cameraman for CNN. Since the project began, they have been able to interview many luminaries from around the world, including Stuart Wilde, John Kehoe, Dr. David Morehouse, Anne Marie Evers, John Hutchison, and others. To watch this fresh, unfiltered, cutting-edge information online, become a subscriber. Visit LifeChangingTV.com and click the Join button. It's that simple. LifeChangingTV.com, making the world a better place, one frame at a time.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show, it's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.